Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, welcome to In the Pink, sponsored by Bose. Stay home, stay healthy, stay connected.
I mean, he must be immensely proud, as I know that your mum and siblings are, about the trajectory of your career. But, you know, there was a time, I remember when we went to that basketball game in London, and you
made me get my face painted.
Yeah,
I still get comments about that. I'm like, why did you let Natalie paint your face? I was like,
why not?
To be honest, I don't know.
Yeah. Play the Knicks. But it was interesting because at that point, you said to me, I'd almost given up on my F1 dream, and here you were, suddenly parachuting into the Toro Rosso drive for Australia 2019. I mean, like, when you look back on it now and you see the sort of steep learning curve that you've come on since then, how do you feel? How do you reflect on the last couple of years?
It is crazy to think about, and it's as you said, coming from Formula 2 and thinking, you know, it was very much like booking a flight on a Tuesday, flying out on a Wednesday, and then going racing in Formula 2, and that was how it was for the first four or five races in Formula 2 until kind of down to, like, you know what, let's give you the reassurance that you are going to stay for the year and we can work on it. And I was just, even with the around that time when we went to that basketball game, there's that huge thing of, and I didn't drive a Formula 1 car till that at that point, and I was, you know, there's so many questions in your head. How's it going to go? There was that whole, okay, my dream is Formula 1, and now it's coming, and it's coming at 200 miles an hour. It was all like, getting worried and going into it. But it's like anything. You turn the wheel for the first time, and suddenly all the nerves go away. I like this, and I'm here to stay. And before long, I was getting called to Red Bull, which was it's a crazy turn of events. It happened all so quickly. It still never really caught up to me how quick it goes, because it's just the Formula One circus. It just keeps going, and you're moving around all the time. Your mind never really rests. I mean, already, even till now, I mean, it's still going on, and whether you like it or not, it's now going the complete circle where it's now going negative. But I mean, it is as you, I know, but like, just in that sense, where it's just crazy how quick and everything moves in Formula One. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I really don't think it is that negative. I mean, I think obviously quali was a struggle, but, you know, God, you could have won the race in Austria.
Yeah.
I mean, how tricky is that? I always wonder this, how you kind of process something as frustrating as that. First of all, would you do the move again if you had your time again? Would you have bided your time and waited? Do you think you were a bit impatient to try and take Hamilton when you did?
So when I think about things like that, would I have done it again, or 100% I would have done it again? I would have even said the opposite, and I would have been more aggressive and been more committed into turn four, it is. Because it's just one of them things. It's like, I'm not here to kind of, I don't know, I look maybe innocent, but I'm quite aggressive on track. And And it was completely on to me, and it still was on. And obviously with the tyre compounds different, and we were just doing a safety car, I knew, you know, that's the time. We've got to do it now. And to me, the move was already pretty much done until we made contact at the very end of the corner. And then to go back to your question, how to process it, I think I'm probably a lot less disappointed than people realize, because as a performance, I was really happy with the weekend. You know, like from FP1 through to qualifying, through to the race, through to the whole build up to that point, it went really, really well. And I think you can't look at the short term, the pure results of things. You have to look at the full picture, and you think to yourself, you know what? I was there because I deserved to be there. I everything that led up to that point was because of all the hard work. And the crash obviously didn't. It meant that the result never happened. But as a weekend, it was positive. And so you, to me at least, I can move on from that quite quickly mentally. It's quite an easy thing to. It's kind of a thing to be proud of, you know. I did a good job and had to crash, but that's that.
Yeah, the crash didn't define your race weekend, did it?
Exactly. And that's kind of how you got to look at things in the full picture, actually, a lot of the time.
And just for clarity, was the DNF directly attributable to the crash, or could it have happened anyway?
To be honest, I don't think we don't have the full answer to it, but the way things were running, and then we had the crash, and then it hit the electrical box and things like that. We would never say 100% that the crash caused the DNF, but let's say the chances are above 75%.
All right.
It didn't feel better that it was a DNF. Let's say it like that. The funny thing is like even in the crash itself, the DNF, if I stopped it on the side of the road, we would have had a safety car, and then things like Lewis's penalty would have been like an out of the points kind of thing. But anyway, I mean, that's not to say I wanted Lewis to finish out of the points. That's just to say how it was.
Well, when you put it together with Brazil last year, you probably do.
Yeah.
It's so weird, isn't it? It's so weird. But it's been both times. It's like, what?
I think everyone picked up on that, but it's just coincidence.
Yeah, of course.
It's not anything.
And what about your confidence levels as a racing driver? How have they grown over the last 18 months? How have they grown as being part of the Red Bull family? And what support do you get from the team? I know Christian sort of mentors you, and you know, he was very full of praise for you this weekend, saying how proud he was of you for a great recovery drive. You know, you obviously had that penalty for the collision with Magnussen, but you really fought back through to finish P8, which was really impressive, and he was clearly proud of you for that.
Yeah, from a kind of a confidence point of view, it's very personal. I think I'm not someone who leeches off other people to feel confident or not. It's a very individual thing. And it has grown massively from when I think about my first weekend in Toro Rosso in Melbourne to now. I'm a lot more calmer. I feel a lot more complete as a driver. Of course, I know there's a lot more to go, but in terms of my process, approaching a weekend, I feel a lot better. In terms of the driving is quite a natural thing. It's hard to say if you feel more confident or not. I say everything around it, yes, definitely. And with the support with the team, it's huge. That's also why I very much feel like it's not all the questions regarding the team is very unjust, because with Christian, with Dr. Marco, they are hugely supportive. There's always the feeling that they want you to do well, and they're always there to support. They know when to talk to you when they're like, okay, let's just leave Alex alone for a bit kind of thing. That's how it is here. So no, I feel fully backed by the guys. And obviously, we just want a good result, a good qualifying, to kind of a smooth weekend. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to In the Pink. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast you've listened to so far. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Check out our Instagram page at in_the_pink. And you get all the details there about how you can win some of those Bose noise cancelling headphones. And join the community. We're all talking about the various guests that we've had on the podcast and who we'd like to see and hear in the next few weeks. So thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Stay healthy. Stay home. Stay connected with Bose.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.